Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you and glad to be here. Always good to be here. Pray that you have been blessed so far during our service. I certainly have. We appreciate that last song. Indeed, worthy is the Lamb. That's why we're here today, amen? That's why we're here today. The message of the Lord is laid upon my heart today is, are you growing? We find our passage from the book of 2 Peter 3 and 18. Are you growing? They might say 1 Peter, but it's actually 2 Peter. So that was my typographical error there on the screen. So, indeed, we are to be growing. We're to be getting closer to the Lord all the time. And I heard this story about an old pastor that said he had spent his entire ministry trying to get as close to the Lord as he possibly could. And as his dying days arrived, he asked his wife to call two certain members of the church. And the one of them happened to be a lawyer, and one of them happened to be a banker. And he asked them to come and visit with him while he was on his deathbed. Well, they came into his room, and they visited with him, and they said, "Pastor, it's a great honor that you would ask us to be here, but could you share with us why? We've never really had that close of a relationship, and we've never really felt like you really maybe even cared for us." And he said, "Well, boys, I've tried my best to be like Jesus my whole life, and I figured if he died between two thieves, so should I." So we want to get close to the Lord, and we want to be more what we're supposed to be. So 2 Peter 3 and 18, very beautiful verse here as he writes, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much. Lord, indeed, you are worthy today. Thank you so much that we could be here this morning, just gathered around a portion of your word, Lord, lifting up the name of Jesus. Father, this message has touched my heart, Lord, as I've studied this week, Lord, and I really believe this is what you once said. I just thank you, Lord, for the baptism this morning, Lord, this dear young soul that has come and publicly said that you live in her heart, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we're just excited about that, and we just pray for her walk, Lord, over these years, months, days, whatever you give us, Lord, that she would exemplify you and her character. And Father, I pray that as we hear your word today, that indeed that would be all of our goals, Lord, that we exemplify you in our character. We exemplify you in our lives, our words, our actions, everything that we do. And Lord, indeed, may today we understand why growth is necessary. And we'll just trust you for that. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. And Lord, I just pray now that you would empty me, Lord, that it would be you and not me. That you would just allow your spirit to flow through me, Lord. Use this vessel as you can. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we hear the word grow, we think of a lot of different things. We associate it with things like getting bigger. We associate it with spreading out, if you will. Growth is always, always the result of something. Growth is always the result of something that has caused this effect. Something has caused it to happen. Now, we are growing here, I believe, as the days and weeks go by and months together, we are growing here in number because of more people. But growth is only the result. In other words, it means something else has had to create it. Something is causing that effect, if you will. It always has a beginning. Everything has a beginning. Whether it's birth in the natural realm, whether, you know, whether we're born or whether whatever it is created from, a building is created from boards and lumber, but it starts with the foundation. The growing process starts in different ways. Again, in the natural realm, we, animals, what have you, are born. And the growing process starts. Seeds are planted in the ground and they're watered and fertilized and taken care of. And the growing process starts. All these things, though, including ourselves, have a capacity. And it will only go so far. You know, the trees and crops will grow to a certain place and they will stop. People will grow so tall and they will stop. But that is not what I want us to look at today. That is not what I want us to focus on. Because there is a way that we should keep growing. And no, I'm not talking about our waistline. You know, I'm talking about there is a way that we can keep growing, because we as believers, as this verse tells us, should grow in grace. We are to grow in grace. When we look at life, then I'm talking about the physical part, the breathing and the walking and the functioning. That all starts with our first birth, when we come from our mother, when we're born at our first day and we take breath. But when we receive Christ, the Bible tells us that we are born again. That we are born again, and the physical limitations of how much we grow may still be there, but spiritually, it should never stop. Spiritually, it should be endless. It should be limitless. We should be growing in His grace and in His knowledge daily as we go about in this world. John 1, 12 through 13 says, "But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power," in other words, the right, "to become sons or children of God." Think about that now. "Even to them who believe in His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by or of God." Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 and 3, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he," what? "Cannot see the kingdom of God." It says he cannot see. He must be born again. Now, this is what separates, if you will, the gospel, the true living word of God, from religion. Now, why do I put it that way? Because this is the definition of that. Religion is man's effort to reach up to God. Religion is man's effort to reach up to God. But the true message of the word is salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God reaching down to man. And that is what we need to see here. That is what's important, because it makes us brand new. It gives us a new life, if you will, a new purpose and a new birth. And just as when we were physically born, when we were first given birth and had our first breath, we began to grow. But, isn't it the same? Or isn't it just as important, if not even more important, that after our spiritual birth, that we continue to grow, that with the birth, the growing process continues, we are to grow in grace according to God's word. Now, what is that? Well, first, let's look at what it is not. I think sometimes it's easier to define something first from the negative side, if you will. What is not growing in grace? Well, first off, it is you're not getting more saved. Okay, they're like, "Wow, what does that mean?" Well, you're not getting more saved. And when you get saved, if you really mean it, you pray and you ask the Lord to come into your heart and you receive Christ and you truly mean it, you got Him. You got all of Him. He comes in. He's there. Now, some people struggle with that. They think, "Well, I got to do more. I got to do more. I got to do more. I got to keep asking to make sure." No. Accept the grace and the faith and the truth of His word. He says, "If I come in, I am there. And I will never leave nor forsake you." When Jesus comes into our heart, He is there. He is there. Now, are there times that we grieve Him? Are there times that we do things we shouldn't do and grieve? Absolutely. Sure there is. There are things we do that He doesn't want us to. And that is one of the places we can grow. That is one of the places that we can keep growing and try to move beyond those things. Growing in grace is not getting more forgiven. When Jesus forgives, it is complete. It doesn't come in levels or stages, if you will. He says, "I forgive you." It's gone. It's cast as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't hold on to it. Now, we ask for forgiveness as we commit sins, because we continue to do that for whatever reason. But our pardon, if you will, is received at our new birth. We've been forgiven of then, now, and later because of the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. It is covered by that. And we still continue to ask for forgiveness because we understand that that's necessary. But we understand that when we've been released, if you will, we compare it to the person that's been released from prison. After they've served so many years, they are free from that particular sentence or offense or whatever it is. If they receive a pardon, though, it is as if it never happened. It's been wiped away. That's what we've been given under His grace. When we are set free, my friends, when we are set free from sin and forgiven by the one who really means it, by the one who truly means it, by the one who will never bring it back up again, the one who will forgive it. It's washed, it's gone. Growth in the life of a believer is necessary. We have to keep growing. We need to understand that, growing in His grace, understanding, because then we begin to lose some things, if you will. We begin to lose some burdens. We begin to lose some heavy weights that we try to take around with us all the time that we don't have to. You've heard me make this illustration many times, but we don't keep our trash because it smells, because it takes up room. We don't keep those things that we don't need. We get rid of them. Why would we want to carry around the burden and the guilt and the weight of something that we've been forgiven of by God Himself? And He says, go on. He says, go on. That's what we need to do. J.C. Ryle was a pastor back from the 1800s, and he had a quote, and I got it there on the screen if you want to see it. He says this, "When I speak of growth in grace, I mean increase in the degree, size, strength, vigor, and power of the graces which the Holy Spirit plants in a believer's heart." Now think about that. Think about increase in the degree, the size, the strength, the vigor, and the power of the graces that we've been given. Are those things growing? Is our life improving? Is things getting better in our spiritual walk? Now, there are expectations when we look at things from the natural, when we look at growth from a natural standpoint. When a child is born, we expect them to grow taller. We expect them to grow bigger and stronger and be able to do different things, have more abilities. When a tree is planted, it is expected to grow taller and stronger and produce whatever it is that it's supposed to produce, or nothing. It just stands there and provides shade, whatever the case. The gardener, when they plant seeds in their garden, they expect it to grow and produce the fruit or the food, whatever it is that it was intended for. So, if indeed we are born again, if indeed we've been given a new life, is there not the same expectation? Should there not be the same expectation that we should grow in some capacity beyond the mere acceptance of salvation? Well, I got saved and I'm going to sit on a stump and not do nothing. Is that what God wants us to do? No. He wants us to grow. It says grow in His grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to grow. We are to go beyond that just minimal. You know, there was a guy that died, and that's all he had done. He got saved. He said the prayer. He walked the aisle. He got saved, and then he went back to the back aisle, and he never got up again. You know, and that's all he ever did. You know, the plate would pass by. He'd put his dollar in there. He made his Christian commitment for the week, and he was ready to go in his mind. Well, he dies and goes to heaven, and he's walking down the streets of gold, and he's looking at all the beautiful rewards and mansion that people have, and many people that he knew, and they went on and on and on, and the angel's walking, he's seeing all this stuff, and he's like, wow, boy, this is amazing. He gets to the end of the dirt, end of the gold street, and turns on a dirt road. Well, he starts going down the dirt road, and he's like, my goodness, what's going on? It's looking pretty bleak, and there's a lean-to shack with a couple old pieces of tin and a few two before it's leaning up, and the angel said, here you go, brother, here's your reward. And he said, well, man, what about all that back there? And they said, we did the best with what you sent. So think about that. What are we expected to do? God wants us to do more. There's an expectation. Should there be evidence in our life? You know, I heard it once said that if we were placed on trial for being a Christian, if we were placed on trial and our life was on the line, this was a matter of life and death, death sentence, if you will. If we were placed on trial for being a Christian, could there enough evidence be found? That's a powerful statement. Could enough evidence be found? There should be evidence. Those things clearly seen by others, that just yells out, if you will, that speaks loud and says, hey, I know what you are. I know who you serve. I know who you follow. We know an apple tree. Why? Because it got apples on it, right? We understand that. It's evident. It's there. The Bible gives a lot of illustrations of different ones. Through time that were at one place, but they grew. They grew spiritually beyond where they were. And there was evidence clear to everybody. We look at the person of Peter. Now, he made a lot of changes in his life. He went from being a backslider. He went from being hard to deal with. He went from raising his voice, if you will, to Jesus. He denied him 3 times, but he went on to be a blessing. God changed him. He went on to be a blessing to many, and his faith was known to all. Paul went from the Damascus Road to the Romans Road. He had a radical change in his life. His faith was so evident that he was used, he was allowed to be a part of creating God's Word and writing a major portion of the New Testament. His teachings today are still helping all of us as we grow in our walk. Now, you may be saying to yourself, yeah, but think about who you're speaking of here, Pastor. You're talking about Bible heroes, if you will, Peter, Paul, and on-so and on-so. Well, I say this, if you think of it the way that I'm going to read this, anything that God has called any one of us to do, whether it's teach, whether it's be a helper, whether it's facilitate a class, whether it's just be an encourager to someone, and if you have told yourself or someone else has told you, you can't, I want you to think of it this way. The next time you feel like God can't use you, remember this. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. That's right. So don't let that be in your way either. Joseph was abused. Moses was a stutterer. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and chased women. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Now, Pastor Andy will never do that, but he did. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter, of course, denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than one time. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. So think about it. God expects us to grow. He wants us to do it. Now we're talking about multiple ways of growth here. Yes, I believe that God has called us to grow in numbers and reach out beyond our walls. Why do I believe that? Not because we can say we got the biggest church in town. No, because we can say we're doing everything God has called us to do and reaching people for Christ. That's what the Great Commission is. And if we are going to be a Great Commission church, then we must comply with that. We must do what God has asked us to do. Do I believe that each of us individually can grow and do more? Absolutely. You know, we spend lots of time doing all kinds of different things. God asks very little back from us. Very little. But most of the time, oftentimes, we talk ourselves out of it. Oh, I could never do that, or I could never do this. Well, you think about that list. There's a lot of things that we can do. What is the evidence of growth? How do we know that we are growing? Well, physically, that's pretty easy. You know, we get taller or whatever, and clothes don't fit, shoes don't fit. We can't walk under certain things. You know, we watch little children, they walk underneath the countertops or whatever, but eventually they start bumping that old head. I remember that lesson the hard way as a youngster. But spiritually, how do we know? How do we know that we are growing? Well, first, there's got to be an increase in love. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about the real thing. I'm not talking about the superficial feeling. I'm not talking about the warm puppy feeling. I'm talking about the real. I'm talking about deep down inside. Our hearts must be opened in order to fulfill what God has called when it says love. Love one another. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another." Another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. If we are filled with the love of Christ, and I mean really have allowed Him to come in, it will overflow. You cannot contain it, and others will see it. It will make a radical change in our life. It will be shown to others, and it is a part of our growing. when we begin to have compassion and feeling over things, even maybe things that, even people that we don't even know, but we hear their story and something about it touches our heart. Something about it becomes real. It becomes attached to us somehow. When we begin to have compassion and care about the things going on in our lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ and even those that are lost, we care because we want them to come. We can't hide that. It is not enough. It is not enough to simply be nice, because anybody can do that. Anybody can be nice if they choose to. If they choose to. But that is, again, sometimes a superficial emotion. But people know when you really mean it. They do. They do. People know when you mean it. In other words, they know when it's sincere and when it's not. How many times in our life has someone told you something from some type of emotional thing? I care about you, or I'm going to, you know, I love you, or I'm going to pray for you, whatever. And you knew right then and there that they didn't mean a word that just came out of their mouth. It's evident. It's evident. It's clear. It's there. It's just what it is. But the outshowing of the real love of Christ, when it is real, when it is there, when they can see your heart, and it's exposed, it's right there, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. It's real. It's there. The great sign, one great sign that we are growing is that there is a showing increase in genuine love for one another. I'm serious. I mean, that is something that shows a person individually is growing, and it is something that shows a church is growing in their spiritual walk, because that is a sign of reality. You know, it's a terrible place to be if you go somewhere and you feel like, man, nobody don't care whether I'm here or not. You know, or there's no warmness. I had a lady tell me last week, and it was visiting here with us from out of town, that said that last week and during the service last week, that she felt more welcomed here than anywhere she'd ever been to church in her whole life. She said even in her own home church. And she couldn't wait to get back to wherever it was, I can't remember, and let them know. Now that's something we want to be known for. That's what's real. That's what people see, genuine love for one another. Jesus said in John 13 and 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples. He said, by this all will know. That means not a question, not a doubt. It should be first, yeah, you're right. No, it should be John. I'm sorry. First John. No, John, I'm right. John 13 and 35. By this, all, I may have skipped that on there. It might not be on there. We'll know that you are my, see, I throw myself off with that thing. I'm telling you. All will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now that's the words of Christ. He says, people will know. And there will be no question, no doubt who you are, he says, if you show love for one another. Now, 1 John 3 and 14, it'll be right this time. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Abides means lives in. Death means spiritually separated from God forever. Death has nothing to do with the physical breathing that we have and when that stops. Death is when you're separated from God forever. In other words, what he's saying to us here is we are at peace with God. We are at peace with God and doing what he asks us to do when we obey his command, love God and love one another. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Well, what did Jesus command? They said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love God, but also love one another. Those two things are what he said. We are growing spiritually when others can see the evidence of growth by our actions. When they can see the evidence of that growth by our action. Paul records in 1 Corinthians 13, he gives this entire chapter is about love. And he clearly talks about, he understands that after his new birth, there had to be a change. There had to be some growth. There had to be some evidence seen by others. And one of the things is the love that was shown to others. He talks about in this chapter that if I do all these things, whether it's speak or whether it's do this or do that, and I do them without love, they're useless. He said, my words are just noise. There's nothing here that's important if it's not done with love. And he ends this chapter and he said, and now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Why is that true? Because real love cannot be hidden. You can't hide it. It will be seen if that's who you really are. Faith can be private. Someone can kind of keep that to themselves and not really have an outward showing. I don't know how you could do it, but some people have tried to kind of hold that in. Hope can be contained in our heart and maybe not shown a whole lot because you just are quiet and don't say a whole lot of things. Some people might even wonder where you are spiritually. May not even be sure. But real love cannot be hidden. You can't do it. If it's there, it is going to come out. And if we are filled with the love of Christ, it has to come out. Because that's how Jesus displayed everything. Everything he did was in love. Everything he did was out of his love for us. And it has to come out. It has to be expressed. Love is a tremendous evidence of growth. Now, another increase that shows growth is an increase in faith. An increase in faith. God knows how much we trust him. You can't hide that either. There's no question of whether God knows or whether anybody else knows. Now, other people may not know, but God knows. He knows how much we trust him. So let me ask you a few questions. Does the world keep you tied in a knot all the time? Do you stay in constant worry? Do you eat Tums by the handfuls? Are you drinking Mylanta every day because you're just in a constant worry about this and about that? Can you truly say without any question that it is in his hands and I trust him? It is in his hands and I trust him. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to tell on myself just a minute. That's easy preaching and hard living. I'll never tell you that that's easy to do. It's very easy to say, but what evidence is shown? Did we show that we really mean that? 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, or good reason, because that your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. God has made us a whole lot of promises, from taking care of us, always being there for us, never forsaking us, never leaving us, all the way to he's promised us an eternal home in heaven. But what does it take to believe that? Faith. Because when our world is falling down around us, it's hard for somebody to tell us it's going to be okay. It's hard for us to embrace that way of thinking sometimes when things aren't going so well. It takes an enormous amount of faith to hold on to that, to accept these promises and take them for what they are. A true sign that we are growing in our faith in him and in his promises is that our faith is increasing daily, little by little, daily. Do you trust him more today than you did a year ago? That's a good question. Do you trust him more today than you did a year ago? Do you have a peace within your heart that he is at work in your life? Do you really know that the presence of God is working in your life without a doubt? Do you know without a doubt that you are his? Do you know that? That you are his and God cannot fail. And if he has promised to see us through, he never said it would be a clear and a smooth journey. In other words, he pretty much promised that it wouldn't be. But he also said, I'll walk with you. I'll go with you. I think of the three, and I preached on this some time back, but I think of the three in the fiery furnace, and they told the king, do what you got to do. God's going to go with us. And even if for some reason he doesn't save us from this fire and this horrible death, he's still going to be with us. That's growing in faith daily. That's really trusting and knowing and understand that. Signs of growth are more love and increase in our love, more faith and increase in our faith. And also, lastly, if you will, showing that we have a desire for a greater knowledge of God. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know more about God? Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What is your desire? What is your desire about wanting to know God? Now, if we look after all that He has done for us, if we look at our life from when we can remember until when we got saved and all the other things, and we look at all that He has done for us, we look at all that He does for us and all that He has promised to do, shouldn't we want to know Him more? We spend time getting to know people. We spend time, if you're interested in a person that is maybe running for an office or interested in a person that's writing a book or whatever the case may be, you spend time, if you're interested in that particular subject, whatever it is, you spend time doing research and reading books and maybe listening to interviews, and you're trying to pick up on who this person is and what their character is and would it be someone you'd want to associate with or whatever. When we look at God, shouldn't we want to know Him more? Shouldn't we want to know Him more? Now, I don't mean just a mere friendship. I don't mean just a casual acquaintance. Oh, yeah, I know God. I had a fellow tell me that one time. Just a very vile young man. And he had a very wicked attitude. And he didn't like me being there to visit with him to start with. He said, I don't need anybody to come preach to me. I said, I didn't. I just want to come share some gospel message with you here and just talk to you about Jesus a little bit. He said, well, I believe in Jesus. I said, well, so does the devil. But I don't see any change in your life. You know, it's got to be real. It's got to be real. Is there a sign? Is there something going on there? And when I talk about knowing God, I mean not just a friendship or an acquaintance. I'm talking about a heartfelt, deep knowledge. I'm talking about walking side by side, one-on-one, becoming one with the Lord. Is that desire there? Is that something that we want? Because that is a sign of growth. That is saying, okay, I'm moving up to the next level. This is not just, I don't just come on Sunday morning to get my weekly little deal here and then go on out and the rest of the week is mine. No, this is saying, I want God to walk with me. You know, we sing the song, just a closer walk with thee, daily walking close to thee. You know, that's what we're walking with Him side by side, day by day, little by little, we're getting to know Him more, just as we try to do with one another. Is there any indication that there are changes happening in your spiritual life? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Do you know more about Him today than the day you got saved? Do you know more about Him now than when you got saved? Because if not, isn't it time to start? Isn't it time to start thinking about where is my relationship with the Lord? Where am I? Where do I need to be? Is that desire to please Him, is it growing greater? Do you want to please the Lord more with your life, with your words, with your actions, how you treat your neighbor, how you treat your brother, your mom, your dad, your wife, whoever? Is it the desire to live a life more pleasing to Him? Because that should be there. That is a sign of growth. Does my life reflect my Christian faith? Does people see the way that I live and say, that person is separate and distinct. That person is different. They're not out here doing this or that. And this is not a better than you thing. There's something unique about that person. There's something that stands out about them. That's what God called us to do. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14 says this: Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. In effect, repeats what Paul has been trying to say. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before or ahead. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul has grasped a very, very important concept, forgetting those things which are behind. Our former lives, my friends, before Christ, and even last week, if necessary, our former life may not have always been good. We know that. Most of us could share some stories that would make you want to run out of the door. Oftentimes there's things there that we don't want to remember. Paul says here, don't. Because when we begin to focus on those things, what do? We stay there and we don't go forward. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a bad personal experience. It could be a bad church experience. I had a lady tell me not too long ago, I had a bad experience in church. I said, well, so have I. Everybody has. You know, that was her reason for not coming. It's time to move past those things. Paul said, forget those things which are behind, because our former lives will keep us there if we allow it. We got to keep going forward. That's how we grow. You know, if we stay, you know, try to put on the shoes that we had on when we was the baby's age, them rascals won't fit. But if you tried to tie them around your feet and bind your feet, you know, you're going to get bad feet. You don't accomplish anything. You don't get anywhere. We have to go forward. And the only way we can do that and truly accomplish something meaningful is to focus on Jesus. And Jesus is always ahead of us. He's never behind us. He's always here saying, come to me. That's how Peter was able to walk on water. As long as he kept his focus on Jesus, he was strolling right along. Now, the minute he took his eyes off of him, what happened? Went down. And that's what happened. We got to keep our eyes there. We got to keep our eyes and our focus on Christ, because he will guide us every step of the way. Now, you may say, well, I want to grow. You may say, I want to love more. I want to have more faith. I want to know God more. But how? How do I do that? How do I get there? What can I do? Well, we have to look beyond the natural. We can't look at our normal growth pattern. We think of it like this: when we participate in something, if we plan it or we start a project, how do we do it? How do we fix it? How do we help it or make it grow? Well, in a seed type situation, we fertilize it and water it and take care of it. And maybe if it's a tree and we want it to do better, we prune it and do all the things to shape it and make it go. If it's a project or if it's a church growth pattern or whatever the case, we invite more people, put out flyers, you know, get involved. You know, volunteer, help do this, help do that, watch the nursery, teach children's church, whatever the case. And that was a very subliminal plug there. I hope you got that. Whatever it takes, we get involved, and that's whatever's needed. We find the resources to make it happen. We find the resources. Well, let me share something with you here today. God has provided us the resources, and it's called His Word. He's given us what we need right there. And He's given us what we need to help us grow, both personally and collectively. First and foremost, again, we have His Word. It says in 1 Peter 2:2, all newborn babes desire the sincere, or pure, in some translations, milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So we must go to the source. If we want that nourishment, if we want that, whatever we need to know more. If we desire growth, we must use what tools are provided for us. If we desire growth, we must find those things that will help us make it happen. Milk in the natural form is said to give us strength for our bones and protein and all these other different things and vitamins and nourishment. We need those things, calcium and all this other stuff. The sincere or pure milk of this Word. In other words, the things that are good for us, the things that will help us grow, the things that will get us to where we need to be are here. So we need to use it, right? If we have it available, we don't have to order it. We don't have to worry about it coming from another country and it being, you know, no good or whatever the case. It's here. It's been provided for us. It's laying right in front of us. All we got to do is use it and allow it to help us grow. Other ways that we can grow: troubles and experiences. Now, it don't sound very fun, but it's a great growth process, because we come through those things and we come out on the other side. Romans 5:3-4 says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations works patience. In other words, troubles makes and creates patience. And patience, experience or character, and character or experience creates hope. Boy, those are so true. Because we learn a lot when we go through trials. We learn a lot of things when we go through hard times. And more often than not, we learn that our only hope, our only way to survive is by hanging on to our faith. Because nothing else seems to work. Nothing else seems to give us that encouragement or that something that we can hold on to that says it's going to be okay. Satan has been trying his best to attack in all kinds of different ways because of the good things that we're doing. And I want to tell you, whether it's you personally, whether it's us collectively, I know that we've had some issues. The devil's going to come. And the better we do, the more that rascal will show up. So just hold on. And we got to just hold on, because our Lord will show up and he'll take us right through the fire every single time, no matter what it is. So we got to bind that son of a gun and leave him at the door. We got to tell him, you are not welcomed here under any circumstances, no matter how you try to come in, whether it's through the door or whether it's through someone. We will defeat him because Jesus did it at the cross. Amen? And that's what we got to hold on to. We got to grow beyond that. We got to grow in these times. Job did, John and Paul did, and we all have through the years. And he is there. The Lord is there, and he is willing, and he is able if we will let him. That's the key. We have to let him. We grow through a strong prayer life and devotional life. Our prayer is an important part of your day. Think about that. Our prayer is an important part of your day, because for me, they set the pace. They set the pace of the whole day. When you get up and you get going, it allows our faith to grow when we know that we've put it in his capable hands. When we said, Lord, this is your day. Just show me what you want me to do. It allows us to grow. It allows us the freedom from being bound by so much worry and despair. You know, how many of you watched Hee Haw back many, many years ago? You know, and then the rest of you just didn't admit it. But gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know what I mean? That was that old song a bunch of guys used to lay around. And that's what we hang on to. Why do we want that? God says, I will give you freedom from those things. Jesus said, why do you worry? Why do you worry? He said, you worry about what you wear. You worry about what you're going to eat. You worry about this. You worry about that. He said, he gave all the different examples, the birds and all the different stuff. When we are consumed with that, our outward appearance is not the same. People can tell there's something wrong. How many times has someone walked with you and never said a word and you said, what's wrong? We do it all the time. You can just tell. Our outward appearance, though, if we cast it over to him, if we lay it upon him, and we say, this is your day, Lord, and we have that freedom that he gives us through our faith in him, then others will see that our look is different. They will often come to wonder, how in the world can you have such peace in such troubled times? And then maybe the door will open that we can share Jesus with them. When we come together here and gather together in fellowship, it's an opportunity to grow. Every service that we have is an opportunity to grow, not only to learn more about the Lord, but to grow in love and unity for one another. It can and it will change your life. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about being one body. True fellowship and worship promotes growth. True fellowship and worship promotes growth. Because we should desire more. We should desire more. A good meal, when you sit down to a good meal, no matter what it is, it's just something that just makes your mouth water. It smells so good before you even get the first bite. You just get done with that last bite and you say, man, that was so good. I think I want some more. Now, that promotes a different kind of growth. But our spiritual desire should be the same. We should want more. It shouldn't be a limitation. Shouldn't matter about time. It shouldn't matter about this, that, or whatever. It is about, what am I doing in my spiritual life? Am I growing in my spiritual life? It shouldn't be limitless, because God is not. God is not limitless. I mean, limited. He is limitless. He is unlimited. He can do anything, anyhow, anywhere. And he is timeless. So with all the resources that we have available, with all the things that God has given us, I have but two questions to ask you as I prepare to close. Are you growing spiritually? Are you growing spiritually? And if not, then why? That's a question we each have to answer for ourselves. I like to close sermons oftentimes with personal things, personal statements. And this is one that I've used for many, many years, and I felt led to include this today. Originally, it would say, remember this. Jesus loves you, and God has a plan for your life. But today I'd like to change that just a little bit and add something to it. Jesus loves you. And God has a plan for your life. Now go find out what it is. Go find out what it is. Do not limit your growth. Do not limit your growth, because our God is endless. He has no limit. Get all of Him that you possibly can. Let us pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for this opportunity to share today, for this opportunity, Lord, to grow in Your Word, to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray now, Lord, as we enter into this time of invitation, Father, that the music would be anointed, Lord, that the words would be touched, and that hearts and lives here today, Lord, have been changed. Lord, are we growing? I believe that we are, both physically and spiritually. And I pray that we all see that, Lord, and that we all embrace that and not be scared by it, but just get more of You, Lord. There's a beautiful song written by the Gaithers, Lord, called More of You. And Lord, that is what my desire is today, more of You. And may, Lord, there be one here today that do not know You. Would they come today and make that right? Father, if there be one here today in need of prayer for a loved one, Lord, or for an issue in their life, may they not be ashamed, Lord, and come to You today and ask You, Lord, to touch them. And Father, we just thank You. We commit this time to You. We just believe in You, Lord, and know that You have brought us here together for a reason. We thank You for what You're going to do. May You bless the rest of our day and keep Your hands upon us. In Christ's holy name, amen and amen.